Running a business is hard enough. Don't make it harder with a dozen apps that don't talk to each other. One for sales, another for inventory, a separate one for accounting. That's software overload. Odoo is the all-in-one platform that replaces them all. CRM, accounting, inventory, e-commerce, HR. Fully integrated, easy to use, and built to grow with your business. Thousands have already made the switch. Why not you? Try Odoo for free at odoo.com. That's odoo.com.
Hey, everybody, it's Mark Pattison. I'm back again and again and again with another great episode of Finding Your Summit, all about people overcoming adversity and finding their way. And I've got yet another inspiring, awesome, very optimistic guest on the pod this week. We'll get to him in just a minute. But before I get there, I just want to remind everybody I am like literally days and weeks away from going up to Mount Everest. I've been training like a absolute grizzly bear for months and months and months, actually years and years and years. And now I'm at the front door. I've climbed 6 of the 7. This is going to be so cool to be in Nepal, flying into Kathmandu, and then making my way on this 2-month-long expedition. Certainly, it's going to be a physical test as well as a mental test. If you want to check out anything about that, you can do that at www.markpattisonnfl.com. And when you're on there, there is a blog that I have called Everest, go figure, and you can actually see me going up and down the mountain and different posts I'll be doing from the mountaintop every day. Also on there is I've been on this campaign on the warpath toward trying to raise $29,029. I'm almost there. I need your help. It's for the National Epilepsy Foundation. My daughter, Amelia, is battling and trying to climb her own Everest and trying to get over the hump. And so trying to bring more awareness and certainly dollars to the foundation. And we're all hoping that one day she and everybody else can be cured of that disease. Okay, so let's move on to today's guest, Kevin Rutherford, who is the CEO and chief eternal optimist of an amazing company called Noon. Kevin, how you doing?
Amazing and very intrigued and inspired as an optimist that there will be a cure for epilepsy, as you just talked about. So I'm going to go to your website for sure and contribute. I just thought I mentioned that. I'm listening to you going, oh, I want to do that.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, we had this amazing event here in Sun Valley, Idaho, January 3rd. I brought a number of my guests that have been on my podcast, Peter Cetera, the former frontman of Chicago, Jim Mora, Tom Flick, former University of Washington quarterback, Peter Whitaker, part of the famous Whitaker family, and Rebecca Rush, and they all came and contributed their time, and we got them up on stage, and it just was a very inspiring night. My daughter ended the evening by getting up and talking. She was petrified to do that, and very inspiring and very heartfelt. And at the end of the day, you know, we walked away with $23,000 that night. And again, you know, trying to tie in this event was called Amelia's Everest. So trying to tie in the amount of money, $29,000, to the summit and what she's trying to overcome, certainly way more difficult than anything I've ever had to do.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
So look, as I just said, I think I was originally introduced to your company through a mutual friend. I think you might be a board member and or an investor of your company, Dan Nordstrom. Great guy. We're friends. And I've been on this journey now, going into 8 years of climbing mountains around the world, you know, I've been testing and trying different products. And for whatever reason, they have just not sat well with me when I get into altitude. And I don't know what the magic formula is for your particular product, but it's an incredible story. And you guys have become a market leader in really adding that hydration tablet into different sports drinks.
Yeah, you definitely hit the nail on the head of where we hear a lot of people talk about it's easy. It's easy on their stomach and intestinal distract. That their intestinal tract, they should say. And it's just kind of fascinating because we hear that all the time. And I'm wondering if that's part of what you're feeling when you were talking about your climbing. I'll pause because I didn't know if you had a specific question, if you want me to continue there, but I was just thinking about what you were saying there.
Yeah, no. You know, I'm making an observation and, you know, certainly you can comment or not, but the bottom line is paying you a compliment that, you know, you've created this company and I want to get into that. And, you know, something I haven't really talked about a whole lot is, is, you know, my past of before I'm executive now. We took over Sports Illustrated, and I'm in the middle of all that. But prior to that, I ran my own smaller companies, and at one point raised $12 million ventures in venture money. Had a distribution of over 700 different retail stores, and we were in seven different countries. So I understand the road, and it's always so hard. And I think there's something that there's some core principles that you live by that I want to touch on today. And, you know, the first thing when I was doing some more research on your background, and again, I saw your title as the Chief Eternal Optimist. I think optimism feeds it so much in terms of other employees, their motivation, where they want to go, this work-life play combination of really having those things to really get the most out of everybody and everything that you're trying to accomplish. And if you don't have those and you wake up on the wrong side of the bed and you see the world as, you know, the jar is half empty, it's just hard to get anything done.
Oh gosh, so true. You want me to build on that one?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, the truth is, we need to find the issues and fix them. And so I think sometimes when people see a title like Chief Eternal Optimist, self-proclaimed, by the way, I don't know if my team agrees with me. Hopefully they do. It doesn't mean that everything is rosy, right? And I think that's the myth. An optimist believes that we can solve it and we can continue to move forward, but it doesn't mean everything's always great. And it's, in fact, far from it on many occasions. But it takes the optimist to see the solutions. Otherwise, you're only going to see the problems and you're going to stay stuck there.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, you're so right. And actually, you know, how I got into the mountains years ago is I was in that stuck spot. And I have been stuck, I think, like a lot of people. And like, you know, I've said many times, action creates reaction, but it's just not action creates reaction, because you can have, if you're in a negative mindset, that action might be something destructive that's not going to actually propel you in a positive and forward direction. Mm. And that's obviously the key, right? And, you know, one of the things that you talked about too, and I want to like understand where this came from, like in your background. But you said one of the, like, the magic keys to getting unstuck and going forward is really to turn that focus on having an attitude of gratitude. And so is it perspective, the reason why the attitude of gratitude that you tend to really zero in on, or is there something bigger than that?
I think it's a yes. Meaning I think the attitude and, you know, and going in with this, like, I've got an abundance mentality. So a lot of gratitude becomes contagious within a team. And so the reason why I think it's bigger than that is you can't accomplish really almost any goal, including what you're about to take on, right? So Everest is the last of the climbs that you're going to do. You couldn't do it without a team to help you prepare and get ready for that. Whether that's as I don't even say simply, because that's underplaying it. If that goes from your family supporting you on your endeavor to make sure that they give you the support to do that so that you don't feel maybe guilt to, maybe it's a coach, whatever that might be, or Noon as a tool to help you get there. You can't do it alone. And so in my mind, culture is the single biggest advantage in any team, business, sport, doing your case study, you know, in grad school or something like that. Like, truly, the single biggest advantage is all about the team. There is plenty of data that shows the cumulative IQ of a team is always much greater than an individual. And so that's the greater part that really, truthfully, gets me fired up. It's the product is one thing. What gets me fired up, actually, is getting the team rallying behind our cause. And in return, we tend to turn a really great business and are selling a lot of good stuff from it. But it really is, it's about culture is the ultimate competitive advantage. And I think that's what gets me fired up day to day more than anything else. That's the fire in the belly for me.
Yeah. And so there's absolutely no question. I agree with you. And that's, you know, I've been fortunate to play on some great football teams and, you know, gosh, my senior year at the University of Washington, we were number one half the time. We ended up number two in the country. And, you know, that takes a combination of talent. It takes a combination of team chemistry. It takes a combination of leadership. And at the end of the day, the thing that you just said is culture. But I want to go back. I want to stay on this word for a minute, this grateful word. Yeah. And is there a moment in time that you had in your past, okay? And I'm literally fishing because there may be nothing, right, at the end of the day. But it just seems like you're so passionate about that word, and you're so laser focused on the meaning of that, and that can be really the trigger that can propel you, that then rolls into this team element and culture and all these other great things. Because if you have a negative attitude coming into the, you know, to any endeavor that you're going to take on, work, play, relationships, anything else, you know, the chances of success aren't that great. Right. So again, I want to go back and like, is there a moment? I mean, I can list like three different times where I went in for the wrong, but I changed the mindset. I got grateful. There was a perspective that I needed to have compared to my situation, maybe somebody else's. Well, like, wait a minute, maybe I don't have that bad of a situation. It's a lot better than what I actually think it is relative to the situation. Is there a moment in time where that happened with you?
Well, I don't know if there is a moment, but I, as you helped me the way you phrased the question and to help bring it out of moments in time where there's inflection point where you self-reflect and you go, listen, you've got it pretty good. So I get the privilege of talking to people about my career journey and what's led me to Noon. And when I talk about that career journey and what I've learned from the different cultures, there's actually an inflection point where something didn't go so great. And here's where I believe gratitude, to your point, really pulled me through. And my gosh, here I am at Noon, and it's the best part of my career. And it's actually following this moment. So I was so prior to Noon, I was the CEO, also the self-proclaimed chief eternal optimist. So I've used that one now, two companies in a row. And I was at Mrs. Meyer's Clean Day. So it's natural soaps, cleaners, detergents. For the listeners that aren't familiar with it, if you went to really any Target, Whole Foods store, it's a pretty strong brand. And I took over for the founder there. And when I was there, we had seen tremendous success. We'd grown, my gosh, I think we, in the just under 3 years, I think we grew at 2.5x. We became profitable for the first time. Our margins were up. Our distribution was growing. We were named one of the best companies to work for by Outside Magazine. In fact, even later on that year, we were named a vendor of the year by Target. Little brand, Mrs. Meyer's Clean Day. So what was the inflection point?
Great brand, by the way.
You know that one. Awesome. I love it. I think the team did, like the founder did such a great job. And actually, Pam Helms is one of the key brains kind of that still is with the company today, where she really brings the magic of fragrance and efficacy. She's just genius woman. And so I came in to the office one day, and I was meeting with, we were owned by SC Johnson, a family company. The person I was reporting into at the time said to me, Kevin, we need to make a leadership change. And so remember, I just painted this picture of a lot of things going great. By the way, I'm sure there are a lot of things that we could do differently too and do better. And they go, we need to make a leadership change. And so kind of, you know, for me, I felt like I lost part of my identity. And I was like, whoa, wait, what's going on? What did we do wrong? We just need a different type of leader. And truthfully, I think because they wanted to take it in a different direction, and I don't think it was necessarily the wrong reason. I didn't know at the time, so I didn't understand. I actually really wasn't mad. I think it was more shell-shocked. And then you kind of go into a spot where you're like, when you leave, you're like, okay, I'm moving on. And they took really good care of me. And the truth be matter, not only was I not mad, they actually took really good care of me. I just, my self-identity had changed was really the big thing. And therefore, you start to second-guess yourself. And it was when I started to reflect and go, well, what's working? What's not? And I started doing some consulting, and I started doing some inner reflection. And what I found when I was doing some consulting with different companies, it was fine, but I was missing something. And it was this connection with people, community, and the social aspect of a team, like really that team unity. You can see why culture keeps coming back. Yep. And so that gratitude of saying, I've really been blessed, and I've earned it. I've been lucky as well to get to where I got to at this point. I go, I need to get back out there, and I need to be part of a team as opposed to consulting, because I'm not getting energy from that. And I realized that I think I have a gift of connecting with people and helping them accomplish maybe more than they thought they could. And I realized I didn't know that until I really reflected. And I that abundance mentality and gratitude gave me more confidence. And then I stepped forward, put myself out there. And so I didn't actually start Noon, but I did take over at Noon well over 6 years ago. And Dan Nordstrom, as you mentioned, is the key person that hired me on. And I think that gratitude was a key component. And I think that came through in my conversation with him. I think that's come through with the team. And then, you know, I have the saying that's, you have a different saying than me, but I think we're saying similar things. Mojo builds mojo, right? Yep. Yep. So you need momentum. You need a spark. Then you build on the momentum. And then that's this gratitude just continues to build. So then when we hit, you know, some obstacles or turbulence, we've still got some mojo to power through it. And I think truly that's kind of what I think energizes me.
Yeah. You know, as you're telling your story and, you know, essentially you're at a company, everything is going great. And then, you know, you get hit over the head and you're essentially removed from the company. Yeah. They took care of you, but it's your ego going, okay, what in the hell just happened? Right. And yep. It's the yep. people in the community. When I started Front Porch Classics, we're a gaming company out of Seattle. And we were, you know, became the darlings. We won Toy of the Year 2 years in a row, beat out Mattel, Hasbro, these other companies. And we were rolling. And we brought in these venture capitalists. And the venture capitalists brought in some seasoned CEOs or CEO. And at the end of the day, there was just a butting of heads between me, the founder, and this new guy that came in that really had his all of his energy on a different company because he had two or three companies in his portfolio and it was just stupid. And at the end of the day, I ended up leaving and, you know, that hurt. I mean, it hurt because it was your baby. You know, I birthed mm-hmm. this thing. I took it through all the hell. I put up my own money. I mean, it went on and on and on. And for me to get burned like that and be shunned and not only, you know, like you cannot have anything to do with this company. Da, da, da. It was something that really hurt. And I think one of the things that you said is sometimes what we all need is this space, and that space then creates reflection, and that reflection creates, if you have the right mindset, like what you went through with this whole feeling of abundance of the things that you're really good at and focusing on your core strengths. And, you know, as I was listening to you, it was interesting because one of the key things that you said was about having that ability to bring the best out of others. And as I was listening to that, it just sounded like my old coach who had that ability, Don James at the University of Washington and other guys at the NFL level, where they were just able to really understand that everybody brings something slightly different and really nurture the best in them by creating that culture, empowering them, and trying to get those people to be the best that they can possibly be. So that's I identify with that story in many ways.
I love that. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, it's just you know, when you navigate your way in business, and it is what it is. So I want to say we're going to kind of bounce back and forth between your personal, because I think your personal life, in terms of your competitive nature with Ironman, and I think the way that you try to live your life, again, proclaiming yourself as the chief eternal optimist, which I love, I might steal that, you know, is really inspiring and brilliant. And, you know, when you get down to perspective and abundance and all this other stuff, it was interesting. I want to leave one last impression. When I was in, I've been down to Tanzania now a couple times, and you go out in some of these villages, and it's like it was 3,000 years ago, and literally living in huts. They have sticks. There's no car. There's no convenience stores, gas stations, anything. I mean, it's literally in the bush, and these people are the happiest people on the planet just because they don't know the perspective of what having a couple dollars in your pocket means. And, you know, their currency is a goat, and it really brings to me, at least, things really home when we start fretting and worrying about things that really don't matter at the end of the day. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I do.
Yeah. I do. So the, So going back, and again, we're going to bounce back and forth a little bit, but I know you're competitive in nature. And when I was reading a little bit more about your time, you probably continue to do this in terms of Ironmans and signing up. I had Mark Allen, six-time world champion Ironman over in Hawaii there on the pod last week. And it was just, you know, it was amazing. Like, how do you develop that mindset? And for you, you know, like you're out there and you're building these companies and you're trying to penetrate new markets and you're being innovative with these new hydration tabs, which again, I love. Everybody go out and buy one or many. But for you, do you find that by getting up and out of bed, or maybe it's midday when you go out and you train, you know, the disciplines of swimming, biking, and running long distances, do you find that it's like medicine for you to help solve problems, come up with new ideas versus being stuck in the office all day?
Yes, for sure. For sure. I would say, first of all, I'm not a morning person, but when you're training for an Ironman or half Ironman, you need to make that part of your regimen or you'll never get it done. So, you know, I prefer to do the midday workout. So I would say this, I think I didn't realize it at the time when I first started moving forward in the triathlon world with swim and bike and run. And it's so meticulous, especially swimming for me. So technical in that you're always trying to perfect and this repetition. And so what ends up happening is by refining the skill to this fine tune to get better and more efficient at everything you're doing over and over and over and over again, like you're just trying to get, it's these incremental gains. And what ends up happening is you become sharper and your head becomes clearer because you're just so focused on that moment in time. And I've found that it actually helps me in my work life because that sharpness and that ability to focus and concentrate then translates to focusing on when I'm in a discussion with somebody directly across me. I'm in this moment, like you and I right now, I'm in this moment with you. And all in, this is what I'm only going to do. And I think the translation of endurance sports where you can hold that over a continuous period of time translates really well over that. It also gets into a clear head. Here's technology is there's this saying, I love this saying. So as fast as the world is moving today, it will never be this slow again, right? So think about how fast things are moving on technology. Think about that statement. As fast as things are moving today, it will never be this slow again. So we've got all these things coming in our mind, clutter happening from every different direction. The phone that we now have, our smartphones, is basically connected to us. It's an extension of our person. And so we've got all this clutter. And imagine if you could go take that completely away for 2, 3, 4 hours, depending, maybe even longer if it's a weekend day. Actually, it's closer to 8 hours in a day. And so you take that and you're full on focus, like the muscle that you're building with your brain by not getting all this clutter of the world really does translate well. So I'm a massive believer in integrating sports into your life, and that will help you in your business. Massive believer in it.
Well, as being a lifelong gym rat, you know, you're speaking to one of the believers out there. I mean, I wake up, I am a morning person, and I wake up and I put my feet on the floor, take a big breath of air, brush my teeth, and I'm headed off to the gym to do my thing. And you know, it's just part to me of just getting all the right pistons firing in your brain, starting off the day in the right way. And that doesn't have to be for everybody, like, because, you know, I totally understand that not all people are morning people, but, you know, for me, that's my routine. The other thing too that was interesting, it has been interesting over time, and when I was younger, you know, and just kind of working my way up through these different companies, I literally was a helicopter, right? I was just spinning at high speed and just running here, running there. And the kids were younger and coaching soccer and softball and all these other sports. And I didn't really have that time to sit and think. And I wouldn't call it meditating, but it's really being quiet and listening, because I think that's sometimes where the answers can come from, because, you know, versus just spinning so fast. And I think that's one of the things that being in nature and being in on these different expeditions and climbs, and, you know, obviously Mount Everest is extreme, 2 months But it really like boils things down to when you're stripped down, you're laying in a tent, you're on the ice, it's minus 40 degrees, you're out there for 3 weeks, there's no conveniences, the food's awful, and you're really trying to think about what is really important in life. And you just have these random thoughts as you're climbing up these ice walls and everything. And you don't certainly have to do that. I think you can accomplish that when you're out running around Green Lake in Seattle or any other place that you might find yourself, you know, around the world. It's just a great way to just separate. Your phone's not ringing, you know, your computer with all the different images, you know, coming at you and requests. It's just a peaceful place to be. And then all the other benefits that you were talking about that you get with it of just feeling more energized. And, you know, you want to eat in a healthier lifestyle. And then you're searching out other things like your hydration tabs with Noon that can, you know, fuel your journey a lot better in a more productive way.
What scares you on those crazy climbs that you're doing and you're about to do one? Like what scares you?
I'm very confident in my climbing ability. I'm very confident in my strength. I think one of my biggest learning curves has been sustaining my energy because I'm burning so much. Ironically, you're climbing obviously straight up a mountain, and the higher you go into altitude, your appetite gets suppressed. And so, you know, you're burning tons of calories, you're sweating, and you're burning a lot of fuel. And so what I've had to learn over time is one, hydration. And number two is always having some small bar, some kind of energy food of some kind in my front pocket. So I'm not having to take off my backpack and lay it down, especially when I'm tied into ropes. And it's really, I mean, as simple as that sounds, you really have to make a conscious effort to make that happen. And then probably, you know, when you talk about, you know, the scariest things are the things I can't control. So the things I just talked about are things that are certainly I can learn and I've honed my game. But avalanches, you know, I've been on several expeditions and we've had all kinds of avalanches come, you know, to the left and the right. I've fallen in a crevasse. It hadn't been a big deal, but, you know, it's just the unexpected when it comes around the corner. But that also creates the thrill of you know, being able to take those things on. And obviously I'm not on a death mission. I'm there to experience and go through an amazing adventure and at the end of the day come out right. But also having that sense of mind, like when I was on in 2017, I was on Denali and we ran into minus 40 degree temperatures at this certain camp at 14,000 feet. And on top, it was blowing minus 80. And we got into all kinds of snowstorms. I mean, we're talking heavy snow, 12 inches in, you know, 2-3 hours. And it was difficult and it was hard and challenging. And we ended up having to cancel and go back. And it was frustrating because I had to come back the next year and carry 137 pounds back up the mountain and go through all the avalanche fields and everything else, crevasse fields. And, but that's just part of the game, you know, and that's what you take on. And so put yourself in the best position of success and go for it.
Yeah, it sounds like preparation is a big part of what you do to be ready for those things. So I might be worried about the avalanche, but I'm preparing to think it through. What would I do in the scenario?
Yeah, no, I think you nailed that. And I think just like, you know, preparation meets opportunity, and that applies to all parts of life. You know, I mean, we're talking about a little bit different thing here. We've kind of talked a little bit about, you know, culture. Which is so important to you. We've talked a little bit about that can, you know, interpret into mojo, but also kind of that vision board of where you want to go. And I think for you, that's so important, right? So whether it's me climbing up a mountain and going down these different paths or Sports Illustrated for you, you know, it's just like having a clear vision that everybody is in line with so that you guys are all walking in the same direction. It seems like that has been really important for your success in these different companies you've been associated with.
Yeah, absolutely. Very true. I think about a thriving team and culture, there's many things that come into play. By the way, my belief on this one is culture is alive, meaning it's a living ecosystem, right? That changes all the time. A person leaves your team, comes on the team, culture is changing, an issue happens, a new competitor comes in, something went wrong, something's going right. Like it's changing. So you have to feed it. It's not a checklist. And so when you talk about the kind of a vision piece, I actually think it starts with painting a vision and belief. Like you've got to believe like this is what the future state can look like in the project, which that could be 1 month from now, or it could be the difference we want to make in the world 5 years from now or 10 years from now. It just depends on the context of the conversation, but it's this belief and everyone has to buy into that and you have to get everyone there. And that takes usually the catalyst that sets the tone is the leader. And so how do I at Noon help paint that picture for Noon? And what does that look like? And when you do that, that's when you go, okay, if that's what our belief is, now we need the spark to get us moving. And that's where you start to build it and you build on that acceleration. Then you need to adapt a little bit, or if you don't adapt, you'll die. So In the business context, I love using the example of Kodak, right? Kodak actually, Do you know this? Kodak actually invented the digital camera, but yet where is Kodak today? Because they basically had it, but they kind of held on. They didn't adapt as to where it was going. And so they thought, well, if we just hold on to this, we're good to go. And then sure enough, digital cameras went and catapulted and they could never actually get theirs on track as they waited. And so that whole adapt and then, you know, how do you celebrate and win and then repeat over and over and over again. So I think that's like the way I think sequencing is in my mind. I break into these pieces going, this is how you build momentum. This is how you get people to believe. And we've done this at Noon over and over and over again, from the mission, the difference we want to make in the world, to we want to win at Whole Foods or REI and what that looks like.
So you talked about you've been at the helm now for 6 years, right? And you talked about Vision and kind of really setting in stone, or not in stone, you're setting in place kind of where you want to be. And then obviously you're adapting to it, as you mentioned, you know, the it's a long and winding road. Tell me where you were 6 years ago at the company, as a company, and where you are today. And then also sprinkle into that, you talked about having kind of a world mission, and what is that all about?
Yeah. So when I came in, and, you know, as you said, take the helm, of Noon Hydration, we were, to give context for you and any listeners, we were, you know, a little over 7 million ish, so a little over 8 million actually in revenue, just to kind of give some perspective. So it started, but the growth rate had slowed down. So I'm kind of giving some numbers to help for context. And I'll talk a little bit about some of the big rocks that we did to catapult it.
Yep.
And so it was growing, but the growth rate was slowing pretty significantly. And that's when, you know, I think Dan and the team said, hey, we need to make a shift. And so I came in, and, you know, here's an interesting moment in time that people may not realize. Because the growth rate was slowing, one of the things that the board said to me was this: I'm curious to see what changes you're going to make in terms of people. Like, what do you need to do to basically, these people need to exit and come in? They didn't have a preconceived notion of who that was, to be clear, but they just felt the answer was dramatic change. Here's the truth. I actually came in and said, I'm not changing anything right away. I need to figure out, first of all, what's going on. And first and foremost, what is working? Because there's something that got us here to the spot. Mm-hmm. And so this is what I find so really cool about the power of people and culture. Within the first 2 months, 60 days, I personally cannot do anything to change this. But this is, to be clear, I might be at the home. It's a mindset that then drove execution and changed the trajectory of the company. Within 60 days, we were already starting to trek along and grow faster. And we actually have never slowed down since that point. And it was a change in mindset for the team that started to truly believe in, like, wait, we've got something really special here. So here's what happened was, it was to really get people to believe in what they were doing and really start to, this gratitude that you talked about, what we both talk about a lot, is starting to recognize we've got a lot working for us. Honestly, they were beating themselves up so much, I don't think they could see it. I really don't. So just like, boom. And next thing you know, the business is already starting to take off. And like I said, I haven't done anything yet. That was them. They did it, which is amazing. And so we started going this trajectory. Then it said, okay, guys, we started in the Ironman space and endurance racing. And this is where we started. And so there was a lot of passion around sports and active lifestyle and obviously hydration. what the team didn't have was this unifying force of like, why are we doing this? Like, what's the purpose? What's the greater change we want to make in the world? And this is when we came up with our mission statement. And it might sound hokey, dorky, whatever it is to other people. What actually matters most about the mission and the purpose statement that someone may use is what does the team internalize? And if that gets them fired up, then you're on to something. If it's all about external show as to what other people think, then it's not really going to motivate the team. But this did. So what we ended up doing was we started to realize, you know, what we get excited about, if we can get, we actually started and evolved and said, it's helping people achieve their own personal best, like PBs, PRs, think marathons and stuff like that. And then we evolved a little bit and we said, you know, everyone's at a different point in their life and it's not necessarily a PR. But what we do universally agree to this day, over 6 years later, we still agree to this to this day. It's a common thread at Noon, is we believe that we are empowering everyone to move more because we think it's actually solving a massive issue in society, which is this sedentary lifestyle. Yep. Oh, by the way, we sell hydration products that help you get there. Yeah. So you can see where a priority goes, right? And so that rallying cry ended up happening. And then we built a nutritional philosophy and we said, hey, this Noon is a great product, but should we do better? Because we've learned some things. And so we overhauled the product 3 years, like it was 3 years later when it hit the market. We completely overhauled it. We call it internally Noon 2.0 to make it even better. So there's so many different pillars, clean product, clean planet, clean sport that we've done, but that just getting clarity about the difference we want to make in the world and then obsessing with that was a real turning point, I think, in the company really quickly that I think Dan, in hindsight, really appreciated that. You know, he's like, oh, I didn't quite see it that way, but I can appreciate that.
Well, look, you talked about the power of positivity and, you know, I mean, I think you're being humble in terms of you didn't do anything in those first 2 months, but things were turning around. I mean, there was some pivot that you guys had to take. Maybe it was just the attitude of the company and having a clear direction about maybe somebody was there before and kind of this new breath of life that had been essentially put into the company, which was you, to kind of say, look, you know, we can do this and we need to go down this path and not going in and saying, okay, I'm going to succumb to maybe what the board wants and fire everybody. And a lot of times people just need to be coached up and led, not, you know, blown out. And the other thing that you talked about too, and I did a lot of work with Starbucks back in my day and really having that third place, right, which you talked about of trying to get people off the couch in Starbucks case, trying to get people to come in, gather, talk, connect, and they just happen to sell coffee. And you guys are trying to get people to go, you know, exercise more and do more active things around the world. Mm-hmm. And of course, we all need to be hydrated in a much better way. And so that's always, you know, that's brilliant. It's hard to do where you kind of like back in your way in with an amazing product, but at the end of the day, like me, when you become enthusiast about it and like I'm like freaking out that I'm down to one little tube of Noon, you know, right? Get tabs, and I'm you know, I've got all this training that I'm doing and you know, I just want to make sure I'm hydrated in the right way. And so that's where you get evangelists around the world, the army of Davids, you know, really, you know, singing your praises about your product. It's great. Love it. Love it, love it.
Yeah,
love
the emotional connection is key. Yeah, you both functional benefit, like how it makes you feel, but there's also how you feel about the brand. And I think in business, I think connecting people on an emotional level is way harder, but so much more powerful. And it takes time.
Yeah, and the final thing that I kind of want to round third base on is and I want to bring this up because anybody listening that, you know, has wanted to step into the fear, start their own business, take over a business, especially when there's uncertainty, you know, it's not like going to Procter & Gamble and you get your paycheck and you come home and the company car and all these things, there's much more risk is, I think, really having that support system in your life to make that happen. You've mentioned a number of different times, really that support system in your life has been your loving wife. And it sounds like you've got a great partnership, life partnership with her. And, you know, when you have that person, you know, no matter what, you know, for better or worse, all those things, I mean, it's just amazing what, you know, the power of two can do to really make that equation four.
Absolutely. I think the reminder for anyone in, if you're in a strong relationship, which I hope if you're in a relationship, it's a good one, anyone out there, it's a partnership. And, you know, you have things that you do together and how do you build that bond? But then there's also helping each of you play your respective individual positions in life because we're individuals. And Kelly, my wife and I, we focus on both those things. What's good? Like, what can we do to, so she can invest in herself? What can I do for myself? And therefore support each other as unconditionally as you possibly can on that. It's like, go for it. I want to help you. And then of course, always invest on what do we do together. Yeah. She's been, oh my gosh. Yeah. She's my rock for sure.
Yeah. Well, look, a lot of this podcast where I started this a few years ago is because my situation did not sustain that bond. And one of the moments in time that I'm not proud of, but you know, it's really, what do you learn and what do you take forward and into mm-hmm. your, you know, next situation. And that's really the key. And so I'm complimenting you for being able to really recognize that and focus on that and make it a priority for everybody, for both people involved, to make sure that thing stays strong. So listen, I appreciate you coming on the pod. I wish you nothing but luck. Every single time I reach up into the I'm at the grocery store and it's always on the, unfortunately I'm 6'3". And so when I reach up, it's on the top shelf. So it's easy for me to see all the different, noon tabs that you have up there, for different circumstances when you're out, you know, training or doing whatever you're doing. I just like, you know what, I've got to get this guy on the pod. I've got to get him on the pod. It's just like, it's too intriguing to me. Then I want to find out more. So I appreciate you connecting and your willingness to come on the pod.
I appreciate it. If I could just say one thing for you and everyone else is, if you think about priorities and why hydration is so critical, if I could just put one sort of plug in hydration in general, whether it's noon or not. If you think about how long you could survive without food, right? And you talked about that concern. That's actually one of your concerns as you're climbing. You could actually survive quite a period of time, all relatively speaking, meaning you could survive 30, 60 days in theory, if you're not burning the calories, maybe even longer. If you look at hunger strikes, if you think about hydration, you could survive five days, maybe seven, if you're lucky, somewhere in that range. And then oxygen, which is why movement's so critical, is like minutes, if that. So I bring that up because hydration is just one of the most critical things people can do. And I'm so glad that you try to do it properly because it's a game changer for people, doing hydration the right way.
It's the difference between winning and losing, period. Down in Africa, you know, their main saying is water is life. And that's so true. So, yep. All right. Well, listen, where can people find you and where can they find your wonderful product?
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for asking. So Noon Hydration. So Noon is actually spelled with two U's, kind of like instead of two O's midday, it's with two U's and it stands for Nutrition Uncompromised. So if you go to noon.com or noonlife.com, we have both URLs. Find us on Instagram. Actually, even I'll just do one plug. Look at the hashtag noonlife. That'll help you understand what noon means to people. That will explain it all. And you'll notice hydration is only, it's a small part of it. It's just so much bigger than that. And then again, my name's Kevin Rutherford. And on the social media world, I go by clean_lantern, clean lantern. And the intent is to be a little beacon for the planet and for humanity and the earthlings that share it with us is really what my intention was. The Mrs. Myers team, to be truthful, actually named me that. So.
Yeah, I love that. You can see how original mine is, Mark Pattison, NFL. So you've got all the creativity in the group. I can certainly see that. So, all right, buddy, listen, thank you so much for coming on and best of luck to you and your great company, you know, into the future.
Thanks so much, Mark. It was a privilege. And I'm humbled to be on your show.
Thank you.
Hey, and thank you so much for listening to the Find Your Summit podcast. We are so glad to have you along for this journey. And if you enjoy the show, please tell a friend, share it on iTunes, spread it to the planet. We're looking to broadcast this to every person that is out there because, as you know, everybody has their own summit that they're going after.
Okay, if you're looking to follow my journey, you can find that through my social links on markpattisonnfl.com. That's Mark, M-A-R-K, Pattison, P-A-T-T-I-S-O-N, NFL.com. So, until the next podcast, just remember, clear eyes, full hearts, and remember, it takes a little more to make a champion, so make it happen. Thank you. Bye.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.
Attention parents and grandparents. If you're looking for a gift that's more than just a toy, give them something that inspires confidence and adventure all year long. Give them a Guardian bike, the easiest, safest, and number one kids bike on the market. With USA-made, kid-specific frames and patented safety technology, kids are learning to ride in just one day. No training wheels needed. It's why Guardian is America's favorite kids bike and the New York Times and Wirecutter's top pick 3 years in a row. This holiday season, Guardian is offering their biggest deal of the year. Up to 40% in savings on all bikes, plus $100 in free accessories. Guardian bikes have become the most sought-after gifts of the season. And inventory is going fast, so don't wait. Join over 500,000 happy families who've discovered the magic of Guardian. Shop now at guardianbikes.com. That's guardianbikes.com.